Last week, we focused on the importance of cleaning out the fridge, right? And making sure that all the stank from the past is taken out so it doesn't poison our future. I was very encouraged how many people came up to me and they're like, you know, we really appreciated the message, but wow, it was such a reminder that I needed to clean out my fridge. Somebody said to me this morning, they said, I had cranberry sauce in there from like Thanksgiving. And I was like, please don't bring it Friday night to our celebration service. But I pray that the Lord would just continue to cleanse us and use us as his people as we prepare for 2020. We are ankle deep into the new year. And I kind of want to springboard a little bit off of where we were last week and kind of go a little further into focus. We'll be talking a lot about vision this week and Friday night and next week and kind of getting a sense of where God is calling us as a church body, right? Without a vision, the scripture says, the people perish. And we need to catch a vision for what God has for us. And we left off last week looking at Paul's words to the church at Philippi. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn together to Philippians chapter 3. And let's kind of unpack where we left off last week and apply that to where we're going this morning. Philippians chapter 3, Paul says this. He says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. I love that. Let's just park there for a moment. Isn't that powerful? I press on to make it my own. Why? Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, Paul writes, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. If any of you think otherwise, God will reveal this also to you. Very interesting what Paul says here. He says, let those who are mature think this way. In other words, Paul is giving us a strategy for Christian growth. He's giving us a strategy or a mindset. This is how mature believers ought to think, is what Paul is saying here. Let as many of us that are mature think this way. And then he says, look, and if any one of you think otherwise, I'll pray for you. That's what he says. If any of you think otherwise, God will reveal this also to you. He's kind of putting in motion how we can get all that God has for us. How many want all that God has for us? Right? Don't you want to just kind of shake off the restraints from the past and kind of move forward into all the things that God has for us? Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, or hasn't even entered into the heart of man the things that the Lord has prepared for those who love him, the scripture says. And that's not talking about heaven. That's talking about right here on this earth. And what Paul does here is he highlights three things that I want to bring to your attention. A pathway to maturity. A pathway to spiritual growth. And what he says is those of you who mature, you'll get this. And those who don't think this way, he's saying, I'm praying that God will reveal this even to you. The first thing we see here is that Paul sets his priorities. Look what he says. This one thing I do. His priorities are set. When you've got someone with the caliber of Paul, right? With the success, if you will, of Paul, with the impact of Paul, with the vision of Paul, with the ministry of Paul, when Paul says to you and I, this one thing I do, that ought to catch our attention right away and think, we need to perk up. What Paul is saying here is he is setting his priorities. In other words, everything else is second to this one thing. And ultimately, this one thing is the pursuit of Jesus. It's the pursuit of what God has for us. This one thing I do. And you know, if we want to be where God wants us to be, and we want to do what God calls us to do, and we want to be empowered to the degree that God wants to empower us to reach people, we've got to prioritize Jesus in our pursuit of spiritual growth. What vies for your attention? What pulls you from that time with God? Many of us have started the year with resolutions. I'm going to be in the Word more. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to be in fellowship more. And those are all wonderful, great things. But I hope you know that the battle that will ensue is every distraction will try to come and pull you from the ultimate prize. The ultimate prize is Jesus. Paul sets his priorities. This one thing I do. Secondly, Paul sets his perspective. It's his mindset. He lays out here. He says, listen, here's my perspective. Forgetting the things that lie behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead. We talked a little bit about that last week. The importance of kind of letting go of the past failures and the past successes. And having a perspective that says, you know what? I am going to be focused on spiritual growth, on connecting with Jesus, not head knowledge. Dear God, no. But hearing the heartbeat of our Master. Forgetting those things. You know, there's things that scream real loud in our lives, doesn't it? Things that try to pull us, that try to keep us from experiencing the best that God has for us. You know, Jesus said, the enemy, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. And there's too many Christians that are not walking in the abundant life and the joy of the Lord and experiencing the best that God has for them because they are pulled in so many different directions. Paul sets his perspective. He's like, this one thing I do, I'm forgetting everything that's going on around. Not that I'm not, you know, being responsible with the things that I need to be responsible of, but I'm not going to be distracted from what is most important. Paul sets his priorities. Paul sets his perspective. And then Paul sets his purpose as well. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What is the prize? What is the upward call? What is the most that Jesus has for you? It's Jesus himself. He is the prize. He is the reward. He is the one that we go after. Listen, when we've got Jesus, everything else in our life works itself out. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Jesus says, and all of these other things will be added to you. And what's interesting is, you see, Paul's purpose was not to plant churches. Paul's purpose was Christ. And in the midst of pursuing Christ, churches got planted, lives were transformed, the gospel got forward, but it was in his pursuit of the lover of his soul. And you see, when Jesus is our purpose, when he is the one that we focus on, all of our priorities will come into alignment and all of our perspectives will be focused on one. Paul gives us the strategy for maturity. There is no shortcut. It is inspiration and perspiration. right? It is the Holy Spirit that does in us and through us what we can never do for ourselves. But there is in us a need to pursue him. The Bible says that we will seek him and find him when we search for him with all of our hearts. And Paul said, this is the way maturity looks. And if anyone thinks otherwise, Paul says, you're going to learn the hard way. God will reveal this even to you. You see, the point is that nobody reaches the prize without pressing toward the mark. Our salvation is free. There's nothing we can do to have earned it. Christ has done everything for us to justify us before God. But sanctification is a work. Sanctification is an ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? We are recipients of the free gift of God in Jesus Christ. But if we want to grow and be mature and experience all God has for us, it's going to take a little bit of perspiration. A little aligning of priorities and perspectives and pursuit of Jesus. Not pursuit of the church. This isn't about church attendance. This isn't about ritual. This is about pursuing the lover of your soul. Now, your pursuit of the lover of your soul will cause you to want to be in the house of God, but it has a means toward a greater end of connecting with Jesus. We press toward the mark for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is true for us as individuals. This is true for us as a local expression of the body of Christ. We do it individually, but then we do it as a defined local expression of the body of Christ as Integrity Church. As we go into 2020, the reality is we ought to be growing together, right? We ought to be serving together. We ought to be worshiping together. We need to be impacting our world together. Why? Because we are better together. We're better together. Paul writes to the church at Corinth and says, nobody, the eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. God has made us into the body of Christ. And each part of the body is dependent upon another part of the body so that the body might be healthy. If one part of the body breaks down, all of the body feels it. Likewise, we are the body of Christ. And man, when we are firing on all cylinders, when we are marching to the beat of Jesus, when we are looking unto Jesus and the author and the finisher of our faith, when we are prioritizing the kingdom of God, that is a church that is a force to reckon with. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. These next couple of weeks, we're going to be spending some time on the subject of vision. And on Friday night, we'll be having our vision reveal. If you haven't signed up for that, please do so before you leave today. Where we'll be having our fast will be over. We'll be having a dinner together. And we'll be revealing to you the direction that we believe the Lord has us going for 2020. And it's extremely exciting. But it's going to be really, we're going to be depending on God together. And we'll be depending on one another together because we're better together. And the vision we'll be laying out is a part of a bigger vision that makes us our church. Now, there are three things that drive a church, three things that really drive any organization, right? Any organization, in our particular case, a church is driven by three things. Whether they are stated or not, they are always driven by these three things. It's better to define them than to discover them, because if you don't define them, somebody else will. Three things that ought to inform or any organization or any church: it's its mission, its vision, and its values. Its mission, its vision, and its values. What is the mission of Integrity Church? Well, the mission, the overall mission of the church, is the same for every church That is a Bible-teaching church, because the head of the church, Jesus, has given us our mission, and it's to go into the world and make disciples. Any mission other than that, a church is not fulfilling its great commission that Jesus gave to us in Matthew chapter 28. And so the ultimate mission of the church is to go and make disciples. It's not a mission that changes. This is a mission that will remain until Jesus raptures the church off the earth. But until such a time, we will be driven to make disciples. That is the ultimate mission of the church. How we go about that mission, how we seek to fulfill that mission, is going to be defined by our vision. What is the vision of the church? What is our unique way of fulfilling that ultimate vision for the church? And then there's our values. What are our values? Our values are the things that we hold dear. Our values are the things that drive the decisions and the priorities of the church. We'll take a look at those in a couple of weeks. But we have our mission to go and make disciples. Our vision is our unique way of seeking to fulfill that ultimate mission that Jesus gave to us. And our values are the things that we hold as greater priorities here at the church. So I'll be sharing our vision for 2020 with you on Friday night. But that vision that I'll be sharing with you is a smaller version, if you will, of our ultimate vision that we laid out for the church when we birthed this thing in 2005. And the vision for Integrity Church is simply this: we are a church that is reaching up, reaching out, and reaching in. Reaching up in dynamic and passionate worship to God. Reaching out to the unchurched with the message of hope that is found in Jesus Christ alone. And then reaching in through intentional discipleship and the study of God's word. Our vision has not changed. We have filled in gaps. We have brought greater clarity as God has provided more people and more resources to do it. But the ultimate vision for our church is to be a church that is reaching up in dynamic and passionate worship to God. Reaching out to the unchurched with the message of hope that is found in Jesus Christ alone. And then reaching in through intentional discipleship and the study of God's word. So this morning we're going to take a look to help me communicate that vision. We're going to step into a scene in the life of the prophet Isaiah, who has this radical experience in Isaiah chapter 6. And we see each of these points of our vision taking place right in this scene that is rolled out before us. If you have your Bibles with you, let's take a look together at Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah has a powerful encounter with the Lord. Isaiah chapter 6 in verse 1 says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah says, I saw the Lord." Now, let me just kind of pause there for a moment, because that is very significant. What we see here is that provides for us the context. What's going on in the life of Isaiah? What's going on amongst the people of Israel? This is the context or the backdrop for what's about to be experienced by Isaiah. He says that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. King Uzziah was a very successful king for Israel. He was good for the people of Israel. He kind of tanked towards the end of his life. We won't get into that right now. But for the most part, Uzziah was a king that was very good to the people of Israel. They prospered under his leadership. They were blessed, and they were cared for, and they were protected under his leadership. During his reign, he was a man who sought God and modeled for others and invited others to be those who would seek after God. Under his reign, he led armies to victory over the Philistines and over the Arabians and under the Maonites. And so they had experienced tremendous victory under King Uzziah. He built walls of protection for his people from the enemy. His fame had spread all throughout Egypt, for he was exceedingly influential. His name was made great amongst the region. He was respected, and therefore they were respected. He had built towers, and he had dug wells, and they had fresh water. They had much livestock. They were a people with plenty. He was a man who loved the soil, and so he taught his people how to farm and brought agriculture, and so they would not be in want. They were able to meet their needs and taught them how to farm, and they flourished under his leadership. He established powerful and enormous armies, and he taught his people how to fight and do war successfully. Under the reign of King Uzziah, the southern kingdom was prospering tremendously. They had food, they had shelter, they had security, they had notoriety and respect from all of the nations. And then King Uzziah died. The king that they trusted in, the king that they leaned upon, the king that they looked to, the king that they thrived under, was gone. That's the context for what is about to happen with Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. You see, there's something significant about the timing of this. You see, sometimes when God pulls our security blanket away from us, it causes us to see God in a new and fresh way. When the king that the people relied upon and looked to and leaned on was removed off the scene, the people looked to God. And I think that that's true for us as well. I think we have seen historically in the church, and we have seen recently in the church, that when the church experiences hardship, when the church goes through difficult times, it is in those times that we recognize how dependent we are upon God, because it's in those times that we realize we're really not in control of anything. We really aren't. We like to think we are, but when the rug gets pulled out from under us and we come to realize that we really aren't in control of anything, it's then and only then that we seek God. We've seen that when the towers went down in 2001, when it brought a nation together on their knees in prayer, only to forget. And God, in his love and in his mercy and in his commitment to purifying and keeping the church, will even allow the church to go through hard times and his people to go through hard times, so that we would never forget our dependence upon God. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. What could have been a season of tremendous stress for the people of Israel, tremendous pain for Isaiah and the people of God, what could have been a tremendous setback for the people, was the very thing that catapulted him into God's plan for his life. Watch what happens. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And Isaiah has a vision of the throne of God. I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe speaks of his glory. The train of his robe filled the temple. And above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two, he covered his face. With two, he covered his feet. With two, he flew. And one called out to the other as they flew back and forth across the throne. And they'd call out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." These angelic creatures, these beings that were over the throne declare the holiness of God. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke. And Isaiah says, "And I said, woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for." What a powerful moment in the ministry and life of Isaiah. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And then I said, "Here I am. Send me." Isaiah experiences a change of life. The nation of Israel was in the midst of tremendous change. It was a new day. It was a new season. A new year. Everything that was familiar to them in the past was now going to change because they no longer were under the reign of King Uzziah. And it caused Isaiah to experience God in a fresh and new way. When everything changed for Isaiah, he saw the Lord. He worshiped God. He says, "My eyes that perhaps were focused on one king, my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And he worshiped. He was reaching up in dynamic and passionate worship to God. And in this case, he's doing it alongside the seraphim that are flying back and forth as they're crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." As we go into a new year with new changes, it's a new day, it's a new decade, it's a new whatever. I pray that we get a fresh glimpse of God this year that we've never had before. I don't know what the King Uzziahs are in our life that we're looking to and holding on to and relying upon and trusting in. But you know what? Those things always die. They never last forever. Only He is forever. And maybe, just maybe, I don't know, I'm not prophesying to you, but maybe some of those desires might be removed from our life. And I pray this year that we get a fresh glimpse of God and see Him in the holiness of who He is. I don't know about you, but I want more of God in 2020. I'm not satisfied with where we've been. I want to move forward and continue to see God glorified in our life and in our ministry, and in our reach, and in our families, that the life of Christ would be lived out through His people. We live in a time where people are so desperate and so hungry for hope. We have been entrusted. Paul says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. That we would be a church that is reaching up in dynamic and passionate worship to God. Dynamic and what are you passionate about? There's not, think of it. What could be, what is something to be more passionate about, worth being more passionate about than our walk with Jesus? Our Creator, the lover of our soul, the one who knows us better than no one, who has our future in the very palm of his hands, the one who is sovereign over the universe, the one who is in control of all things. If I'm going to put all of my emotional energy into one basket, it's going to be in him. He is the one that deserves all of my passion and energy and zeal. Oh, that we would be a church that is reaching up in dynamic and passionate worship. That's what we see Isaiah experiencing here. This sense of awe that Isaiah experiences. This overwhelming display of the holiness of God and the glory of God causes Isaiah now to move from reaching out to now reaching in. Because literally what we see Isaiah do is he's going now from wow to whoa. Woe is me. What does he says here? He sees the glory. He sees the holiness of God. He sees the throne of God, and he becomes very aware of his condition. And he says, woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. As he got closer to the throne of God, he became that much more aware of his need of God in his life. And listen, as we are pursuing God, as we are reaching up in dynamic and passionate worship to God, as we pursue the lover of our soul, the light of God's glory is going to shine dark on the darkness of our heart and those areas that need to go. The things in the fridge that we talked about last week that hold us back from experiencing all that God has for us. As we pursue Jesus, it ought to create in us not an arrogance, a pompous awareness of our knowledge. God forbid, our pursuit of Jesus, the closer we get to God, it ought to create in us an awareness of our total dependency upon him. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. Reaching in through intentional discipleship and the study of God's word is what we must be about, Integrity Church. It's allowing the word of God to inform us and transform us. It's to shine the light of those areas in our life that are inconsistent with our new nature in Jesus Christ. But you can't just be around the word. You got to be in the word. And as you're in the word, it will shine its light on those things. Reaching in through intentional discipleship and study of God's word. What are we intentional about? When we are intentional about things, we are, as we said earlier, prioritizing. Now, if I'm going to be intentional about something, it better be something worth my intentionality. And what's worth more of my focus and my intent than my pursuing Jesus? Reaching in through intentional discipleship and study of God's word. A 2020 view of God helps us to see how great God is, and causes us to be reminded of how much we need him. He is our daily bread. He is our sustenance. Without him, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. We need him. And sometimes the awareness of how much we need him only rings through our ears in the most desperate of times. And it's that you, not that you need him more at those moments. It's that you just became aware of how much you've needed him all along. Reaching in through intentional discipleship and the study of God's word. Prioritizing time with God, time with God's people, the way we were designed to. And then look with the vision that Isaiah has. It brings him next to this next experience. He says, wow. He says, whoa. And then he says, I heard a voice from the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And then I said, here I am, send me. We want to be a church that is reaching out to the unchurched with the message of hope that is in Christ Jesus. We, like Isaiah, live amongst the people of unclean hands who do not know the hope that they can have in Jesus Christ. This ties back to our ultimate mission to go and make disciples. This vision that Isaiah has is what catapults him into the ministry that God has for him. It moved him from being a spectator in the sanctuary of God to being a prophet amongst the people. And you see, the church was never designed to come and stay within the sanctuary. It's here that we come. It's here that we're informed. It's here that we're equipped. It's here that we're inspired. It's here that we get our batteries charged, if you will. But all of that is a means to a greater end of going and pouring it out to the world around us. To move out from the sanctuary into all the world, making disciples. At Integrity Church, we stand by the words of the Apostle Paul as he declared in Romans chapter 1, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. There is nothing that will change a life more than the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't have any tricks up our sleeves. It is not going to be how beautiful we sound or how wonderful we play or how much we are able to put all the polish on all the things we do. Those things might impress people. They will never change people. The only things that will change people is the power of the gospel. The gospel that has changed you and the gospel that has changed me. We have been recipients of this and we are to bring it to a lost and dying world. Only the gospel of Jesus can make the broken whole. The lost found, the sinner forgiven, the addict set free, the vulnerable strengthened, and the guilty made innocent. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ can heal a broken heart. Give significance to the one who feels insignificant. Hope to the one who's hopeless. Peace to the one who's tormented. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, that we would be a church that is reaching up in dynamic and passionate worship to God. Worship is all of life. It's not just what we experience on a Sunday morning. Worship is every time we say no to self and say yes to God, it is an act of worship. Every time we invest in our spirit and we mortify our flesh, it is an act of worship. But there is something very significant about when the people of God come into the house of God and in one voice, in one accord give glory and honor before the Lord. Hey, I'm sure there's worship going on all over heaven, but there's something, we see something significant about the throne that as they came together and in one voice, they cried out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We see that there's something significant when the body of Christ, the people of God, come together. Kenny and Charlene had just given me an article between services that just leaped out at him and said, you got to read this. And I just took a quick view, but they've discovered something scientifically that when choirs sing, their heartbeats sync as one. And I said to him, you mean theoretically? No, no, no. Their hearts sync as one. Read it. I even read it on CNN. I did. When mass choirs come together, their heartbeats sync as one. Do you see the power of that? As we come together as Integrity Church, as a redeemed people of God, as a local expression of the body of Christ, and we begin to sing a song, our hearts unite as one before the one who is worthy of all of our praise. And you know what? We can experience the presence of God in so many areas of our life, but there's something unique and something powerful and something special about when the people of God come together in the sanctuary and worship passionately the one who loves us. May we be a church that is reaching up in dynamic and passionate worship to God. May we be a church that is reaching out to the unchurched with the message of hope that is found in Jesus Christ alone. May our ministries all have a focus of reaching lost people. May we not focus just on making things prettier and bigger and better attended, but may they all be a means of reaching people for Jesus Christ. It's the mission of the church to go and make disciples. Discipleship doesn't happen at conversion. Listen, it begins at conversion. Discipleship is what we're on, the journey we're on right now. And then reaching in through intentional discipleship and the study of God's word. This was the vision that God gave us in 2006 when we launched Integrity Church. There's been many ways in which this has been carried out over the years, but it has not changed one bit. That we are a church that is reaching up in dynamic and passionate worship to God, reaching out to the unchurched with the message of hope, and reaching in through intentional discipleship and the study of God's word. Let's go into 2020. Marching to the audience of one, leaning on him as we together, in one heartbeat, worship God together. Father, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that you will build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Thank you, Lord, that everything that the church needs to be effective in this day has been given to us through your Holy Spirit. Through the empowering of the Holy Spirit and through the gifts of the Holy Spirit that you've invested in the lives of your people. And so may we as one church family bring those gifts to the family so that the body might be edified and that you would be glorified. May we make you proud as a church that has been entrusted to reach this area for Jesus. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.